Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Beast by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Not a Goosebumps book, however. This is the quickest I think I've ever put two up. This is the next day, recorded January 2nd. Definitely not part of any sort of New Year's resolution. I will end this year as fat and drunk as I started it. God damn it. I don't like change. Anyway, yeah. You know what, just really quick shout out to Dusty for making that theme song. He redid the theme from the old Goosebumps TV show. I never give him enough credit for that, and that thing is awesome. Chapter 14. Our mouths open in surprise. We walk side by side, following the twin rows of torches. Past the game booth stood an old-fashioned carousel with pink and white horses spinning gracefully. A high white building stood across from it. The sign over the wide entrance proclaimed, "England's Wild Animal Show." England. Okay. "Everybody's dressed so weird," Ashley exclaimed. I had to agree with her. I didn't see anyone in jeans. Everyone was too dressed up for an amusement park. Most of the men wore dark hats, and a lot of them in sports jackets and ties. Their pants were baggy, pleated in the front. Two boys ran past in long brown shorts and striped t-shirts. They had heavy leather shoes on their feet. No sneakers. Not even sweet LA gears. Why do I always reference LA? Yeah, whatever. The women and girls all wore dresses or skirts. The dresses were solid colors or flower prints and had big shoulders. Most of the skirts came down nearly to the women's ankles. "Wow, look at those high-heeled shoes," Ashley exclaimed. Who would wear high heels to an amusement park? "The hairstyles are weird, too," I said. "It's like we stepped into an old black-and-white movie on TV." My comment made us both stop and stare at each other. I think we had the feeling that something mysterious had just happened to us. No fucking shit. And I think at that moment, we both knew where we were. We're in Firelight Park, Ashley stammered, her eyes gazing all around. But how? I managed to choke out. Ashley didn't reply. She was staring at the flickering torches that lined all the walkways. It's impossible, she murmured finally. Impossible! Barbaric. We both shook our heads, staring at the strange park in disbelief. How the fuck did we get here? How would we get back to King's Island? Which I went on Wikipedia and discovered. It's still an actual park. So, yeah. Glad their marketing's working out well that I had no idea it existed. But it is in Ohio. I went to Ohio once. It was very flat and full of nothing. Were we trapped here? Trapped here forever? These frightening questions flashed through my mind. I feel scared and excited and curious and terrified all at the same time, Ashley exclaimed. I nodded. Me too, I choked out. What do we do now? She asked. Two teenage boys wearing big blue sport shirts buttoned up to the collar and wide brown pants pushed past us. I followed them with my eyes. They were hurrying to a tall building in front of us. A long line had formed in front of the entrance to the building. A sign made of hundreds of red and blue light bulbs proclaimed, "Ride the shoot the shoot." It's like shoot as in a gun, and then shoot as in like a slide, like shoots and ladders. That's shoot the shoot. You know, that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't translate well to the audiobook or bootleg podcast, whatever. "What is the shoot the shoot?" Ashley demanded. I shrugged. "Some kind of water ride, I guess." I suddenly noticed that people were staring at us. What the fuck is up with my reading? Mostly, they were staring at Ashley. Because of her clothes, I guessed. She had to be the only girl in day-glow orange shorts, a sleeveless t-shirt, and white high tops. People were staring at my pump sneakers, too. And I guess my faded jeans with holes in both knees and my heavy metal headbangers t-shirt were a little out of place. Oh, God, this is dated. I feel like some kind of freak, Ashley complained. Why are they staring at me like that? They're the ones who are dressed funny, I cried. I don't like this, Ashley said, her voice trembling. I really don't like this, James. Hey, you wanted to remember adventure, right? I replied. I tried to sound cheerful. I was probably as frightened as Ashley, maybe more frightened. I watched her chin tremble and her eyes start to tear up. I didn't want her to lose it, so I forced myself to sound cheerful, like I was having a good time, not a care in the world. It's so hot, I said, wiping my forehead with one hand. Let's get some ice cream. I led the way to a small white cart with green and white striped umbrella over it. A short, chubby man in a long white apron leaned back over the cart. He had shiny, slick back black hair and a thin black mustache. He must be one of those dirty wops we read about in our history book. He lifted himself off the cart as Ashley and I stepped up. What'll it be? He asked. Do you have, like, Froyogurt? Ashley asked. The man narrowed his eyes at her. You're a little late for April Fool's Day, miss, he said. No, really, frozen yogurt? Ashley repeated. The man frowned. Why would anyone freeze yogurt? Ashley, I whispered, he doesn't have it. I turned back to the ice cream man. Do you have Dunkaroos, sir? That's what we eat in this generation, us kids. We like Dunkaroos. You can get exactly as much chocolate as you would choose, and no. He doesn't have it. I turned back to the ice cream man. He was staring at Ashley's outfit. Do you have Rocky Road? I asked. He rolled his eyes. Another joke. You two are Abbott and Costello, huh? I'll have a praline ice cream, Ashley said. The man's skinny little mustache twitched, as if it were about to jump off his stupid face. He rubbed his chin with a chubby, stupid, fat hand. You two are funny. You should go on the radio. You dress funny, too. Where'd you get those costumes? What flavors do you have? I asked. Vanilla and chocolate. Naturally, he said, rolling his dark eyes impatiently. And I've got Tutti Frutti. Tutti fucking Frutti. Goddamn, Devil's Rejects is a solid movie. Tutti what? Ashley asked shrilly. What's that? I could see the man was starting to get angry, and glanced behind us, I saw a small crowd had gathered. Our strange clothes were attracting attention. We'll have two vanilla cones, I said quickly. The man nodded, opened the lid of the white cart, and began scooping ice cream into two cones. I dug into my jeans pocket and felt a couple of dollar bills. I hoped it would be enough to pay for the cones. That'll be 4 cents, the man said, handing us two double scoop cones. Ashley, a double dip cone for 2 cents, I cried in surprise. Her mouth had dropped open in shock. Have you got it or not? The man asked, his hands at the waist of his apron. I pulled a nickel from my pocket. Keep the change, I told him. Big spender. Can you tell me what year this is? Ashley asked suddenly. The man's worm-like mustache twitched again. He narrowed his eyes at her. What did you ask me? What year is this? Ashley repeated, as if it were a perfectly normal question to be asking an ice cream man at an amusement park. The man didn't reply. He shook his head and muttered something about kids today. He gave us a weary little wave. See you in the funny papers, he said, and turned away from us. Ashley and I walked away, licking our enormous cones. The ice cream was really good, sweet and creamy. As we walked, I noticed that people stared and pointed at us. Funny costumes, I heard a woman say. Are they in the circus show? We've got to do something, Ashley whispered. She had a white ice cream mustache all over her mouth. Yeah. And you know that it's pretty, you know, that's reminding him of. Do you? I'll explain it when you're older. The cones were very drippy. We've got to find Petey, I said. He'll know what to do, and he'll probably know how to get home. Don't say probably, Ashley said shrilly. He's got to know how to get us home. He's got to. We wandered through the crowd, trying to ignore the stares and comments. The line had grown longer at the Shoot the Shoot. We also passed a long line at a ride called Moon Rocket. Peering into the entrance, I saw a long rocket ship, very old-fashioned looking, with dozens of little cars, like little train cars. It looked more like a huge caterpillar than a rocket. It was wrapped around a circular track, and when the cars were filled with passengers, the rocket spun around the track faster and faster. The passengers squealed and shouted, even though they weren't going as fast as a real roller coaster. I guess they thought it was pretty fast, though. Really? That's... okay. Hey, James! Ashley pulled me away from the entrance. I spun around, trying to see what she was pointing at. It's PD! She cried, staring across the crowded plaza. Staring into the bright light of the tall torches, I saw him against a low fence. I recognized the long white hair and the baggy denim overalls. Hurry! Ashley cried, pushing her way through the crowd. She didn't have to tell me to hurry. I was as eager to talk to Petey as Ashley was. Now, maybe we'll find out what's going on here, I thought. He's got to get us out of here. He's got to! Hey, Petey! Ashley called. When he turned around, we both gasped. I'm drinking the same, not the same High Life, but still drinking High Life. Is this mediocre so far? Like a 3 or 4 out of 10? I feel like I'm not bringing it. You know, I'm not bringing the pain. Okay. Chapter 15. Petey, Ashley's voice sank. The white-haired man spun around. His dark eyes glanced back at us through heavy, black-rimmed glasses. He held a stubby black pipe in his teeth. No beard. Ashley and I both saw at once that it wasn't Petey. The man turned to his wife and pointed at us. I guess he was commenting on our weird outfits. Ashley sighed and shook her head. Keep searching, I said. We'll find him. We walked past a small square park. I'm just annoyed with every single chapter having to end in some non-cliffhanger, where it's just, here's how it ended. Staring at the... I was eager to talk to Petey. I'm just trying to find... Staring at the bright light, I saw him. I recognized the line, blah, blah, blah. It's just... Ah, fucking, what am I getting at here? Stay on track, dude. Keep searching, I said. We'll find him. We walked past a small square park. A crowd had gathered in front of a white bandstand. On a low stage, a quartet wearing straw hats and red and white striped shirts was singing a slow song. It's a barbershop quartet, Ashley said. Well, I could tell it wasn't a rap group. Because there were no blacks. I exclaimed sarcastically. We stopped for a moment to search the crowd. No sign of Petey. The four singers leaned close together. They were singing something about an old Kentucky home. Ashley and I started walking again. A strong breeze came up, making the torch flames flutter. Our shadows grew longer. We passed a small food stand selling Coney Island dogs. In the far distance, I could see a Ferris wheel, dark against the purple sky. The wind fluttered Ashley's hair. She didn't seem to notice. Her eyes were narrowed. Searching for Petey. An idea popped into my head. Hey, I bet he's waiting for us back at the Beast, I said. Maybe, Ashley replied. The wind blew her hair over her forehead. She pushed it back with both hands. Which way is the Beast? I asked. I'm all turned around. Let's ask that guard, Ashley asked. Or said. Across the walkway, a guard in a blue uniform leaned against a narrow wooden booth. It looked like those photo-developing booths they have in malls, except it was painted blue. We jogged over to him. Which way is the Beast? Ashley asked eagerly. He stared back at us with cold brown eyes. He adjusted his blue cap as he studied us. Which way is the Beast? Ashley repeated. He frowned. What's the Beast? You know, the roller coaster? Ashley repeated, impatiently. You mean the chute. It's over there, he pointed. No, it's called the Beast, I said. It's back in the woods, but we lost our way, and... See, you lost your clothes, too, idiots, the guard said sternly. Can you tell us where the Beast is? I asked. He shook his head. Try the wild animal show. They've got the only beast I've ever heard of. But... I stammered. The guard narrowed his eyes at Ashley. I'm sorry, miss, but I can't allow you to walk around in your underwear like that. Ashley's mouth dropped open. Huh? My underwear? An undershirt and shorts are not proper attire, the guard said. Are your parents at the park? No, Ashley muttered. Well, wait here. I'll get someone to take you to the office. You can call them to pick you up. Ashley and I exchanged glances. That would be a real long-distance call. Ashley told the guard. The guard scowled. I can't let you walk around like that. Just wait here. No way! Ashley cried. She wheeled around and started to run. I was a few steps behind her, but I stopped short, nearly colliding with a baby carriage. Stop! Stop right there! I heard the guard scream. He grabbed for me with both hands. I ducked away, fell, landed hard on my knees. My poor knees were having a rough night. Glancing up, I saw Ashley running full speed through the startled people in the crowd. I struggled to my feet, but the guard was right behind me. I couldn't get away. I was caught. I don't know what it really says about the Goosebumps series, but I'm fairly confident that you can go through most R.L. Stine books and just listen to, like, part two of Dune Reads Goosebumps episodes. And just piece together from context in the first paragraph what was happening. Oh, two kids back in time in an amusement park. Got it. All right, good to go. Like, goddamn, you don't need to waste an extra hour and 15 minutes or whatever they average on the first one. Chapter 16. I stood up, swallowing hard, and waited for him to grab me. But to my shock, he ran right past. Stop her! Stop that girl! He shouted. I realized he wasn't interested in me. He only wanted to catch Ashley. Shaking my head hard, as if shaking off a close call, I followed him. I saw Ashley turn a corner into a crowded area. I turned the corner too, but I lost sight of her. People jammed the narrow walkway between two rows of brightly lit carnival booths. As I hurried past, searching for Ashley, I saw dart games, water balloon games, ring toss games. Win a Cupie doll, a man shouted through a megaphone. Everyone's a winner. Win a Cupie doll for your cutie. I don't know what that is. Wait, is Cupie the guy from Popeye? The little monster dog deal? I had to slow to a walk. The crowd was too thick to run. I couldn't see Ashley or the guard. The wind whipped through the walkway. Women cried out and grabbed their skirts. Men held on to their hats. The flames of the tall torches flickered and bent. A line had formed in front of a sideshow stage, blocking the street. I searched frantically for Ashley, but didn't see her. I was starting to get that heavy feeling of dread in my stomach again. What if I couldn't find her? On the sideshow platform, a man with a black mustache and oily, slicked-down black hair held up a megaphone to his mouth. He wore a straw hat and a flashy red and black striped sport jacket. "See the two-headed boy," he called into the megaphone, his shrill voice floating over the folks. "It's real. It's all real, folks. The boy has two heads. You can count them for yourself. One, two heads. It's like a testicle growing out of his neck." I pushed deeper into the crowd, searching for Ashley. "Hurry, hurry. Hurry, hurry. The show is about to begin. 2 bits is all it takes, folks. 2 bits to see the wonders of the known universe. See the amazing elastic woman and her husband, the incredible lobster man. When she wraps him in her arms, she really wraps him, folks. But watch out. He pinches." Ooh, I'd be good at that. I need to get a job doing that. Some people laughed. The crowd surged forward. I was forced to move along with it. Another blast of wind made everyone reach for their hats. Ducking my head, I pried myself free from the crowd. I turned the corner and was heading around the back of the sideshow when someone grabbed my shoulder. "Huh?" I spun around. "Ashley! Quick! In here!" She pulled me to the back door of the sideshow building. Then she opened the door and slipped inside before I could protest. We found ourselves in a steamy, dark room. A red, dim lamp provided the only light. It's a dim red lamp, and I just switched it and went seamlessly past. I could hear low, murmuring voices nearby, and through the thin walls I could hear the carnival barker out front. "Hurry, hurry!" he was shouting. "The show is about to begin! You don't want to keep the wild man of Borneo waiting, do you, folks?" His eyes were slowly adjusting to the dark. Also, my eyes were slowly adjusting to the dark. I turned and stared into Ashley's troubled face. I think we lost that guard," she whispered. "Then let's get out of here," I urged. She grabbed my arm. "But what are we going to do? That guard said there is no beast here. He'd never heard of it. How are we going to find Petey?" "Maybe the guard is new here," I suggested. "Maybe he doesn't know his way around yet." "Yeah, sure," Ashley rolled her eyes. "Be serious, James. What the fuck are we going to do?" "We've just got to keep looking," I said. I pulled my arm free. "Hey, you're supposed to be brave. You're supposed to be the brave, adventurous one, remember?" That made her smile. "Guess I forgot." "Let's go find a map of the park," I suggested. "Then maybe we can..." I stopped when I felt a cold, wet hand on my arm. Come on, let go, Ashley, I whispered. She gaped at me. I'm not touching you. With a gasp, I turned to see a strange-looking teenage boy grinning at me. His face was shadowy and evil in the dim red light. His black eyes were wide, and his mouth appeared to be locked in a jagged grin. I'm the Jelly Boy, he said in a weird sing-song. I'm the Jelly Boy. He said in a weird sing-song, like Dune likes to read the chapters. His cold, wet hand patted my arm, giving me chills.
I'm the Jelly Boy, he repeated. I'm a good boy, I'm the Jelly Boy.
And now, as a special guest to read the chapter number, I'm bringing on my friend the Jelly Boy.
Chapter 17.
Excellent work, Jelly Boy.
Thank you.
Oh, God, what am I doing? He wrapped his cold, slimy hand around my hand. His arms and legs seemed soft and rubbery,
like jelly.
His grinning face was inches from mine. His breath smelled sour.
I'm the Jelly Boy, he chanted. I'm a good boy.
Nice to meet you, I choked out. My friend and I were leaving now. I tried to slide my hand free, but he held on. His hand was so wet and cold I had shivers running down my back.
I'm the Jelly Boy, I'm the Jelly Boy.
His grin never moved. Ashley, let's go, I cried. She started backing toward the door, then cried out. I followed her gaze. A two-headed boy stepped out of the shadows into the red light. His left head was sort of tilted at an odd angle. The other head stood straight. All four eyes stared directly at us.
Who are you?
The right head demanded in a surprisingly deep voice. Before Ashley and I could reply, an enormous woman waddled into the room. She was so wide she had trouble squeezing through the doorway. She wore a huge white dress, bigger than a camping tent. Her face was round as a balloon, and she had at least 12 chins.
What's going on? Where's Walmart?
She asked sharply. We're leaving, I managed to say in a trembling voice.
No, you're not,
the two-headed boy replied, moving quickly to block the door.
You're staying with us, Jelly Boy whispered, bouncing on his rubbery, jelly-like legs.
You're staying with us forever,
the two-headed boy said. I'm now recording this one downstairs on the couch. I'm just mixing this all up. It's getting crazy. I actually like the books better. I might actually bid on a eBay lot of a shit ton of Goosebumps books.
Chapter 18. Or you could buy them for me. I'd appreciate it.
The strange, frightening weirdos started to close in on us. I glanced at Ashley. She tugged at her hair with both hands, her eyes wide with fright.
Let us out! She shouted at them.
She turned to the door, but the two-headed boy was still blocking the way. Suddenly, a shrill voice boomed out from the front of the room.
Showtime, guys! What's the delay?
We all turned to stare at the carnival barker. He took off his straw hat and dropped it on the table beside the megaphone.
Let's not keep the fans waiting. Get a move on, he ordered. Wanda, get your beard on. Artie, straighten your head. It's falling off your shoulder. Come on, guys.
His eyes went wide when he finally noticed Ashley and me.
Hey, get those kids out of here, he cried.
Are you guys scaring kids again? Don't you remember what happened in Dayton? Those poor kids will have nightmares for the rest of their lives.
They must have saw that. The huge woman waddled away, pressing a beard up to her chin. The two-headed boy grumbled loudly as he struggled to straighten out his fake head on his shoulder.
Jelly, open the door. Get the kids out of here, now.
Okay, I hear you,
the Jelly Boy muttered. A few seconds later, Ashley and I found ourselves back outside. The wind had picked up. It was ruffling the pennants on the top of the booth.
I think I'll finish this sentence when the angels win the pennant.
Making them rattle, the torches all down the walkway flickered low, almost blowing out. That was creepy, I said as we headed away from the carnival area. It was all fake, Ashley murmured. Then she froze in place, and her eyes went wide.
James,
Run, she cried. I turned back to follow her frightened gaze. Blue uniform parked guards. There were four of them now. They saw us and were running after us. We wanted to run, but we were standing in front of a solid brick wall.
Chapter 19 is the greatest chapter in this book. Despite the fact that I've never read this book before.
I think people think that I read these prior to the experience, but no. We're all going through this together, you know. Okay.
Quick, give me a boost, Ashley cried. She turned to the wall and raised both arms, reaching for the top. There isn't time, I shouted, watching the four guards pick their way through the crowd. But I bent down and cupped one of her sneakers in my hands and lifted. Her hands grazed the top of the wall. Oh, she cried out as her sneaker slipped out of my hands and she dropped back to the ground.
Hold your horses, one of the dark uniformed guards cried. Don't try to run.
We were caught. I let out a long sigh and waited for them to circle us. But as they came running across the crowded walkway, I saw a frantic-looking man and a woman step up and block their path.
Our baby! The woman cried.
Have you seen my baby? The man asked.
A little one?
She was in the carriage, the woman added in a trembling voice.
The guards were forced to stop. I bent quickly, grabbed Ashley's sneaker again, and with a loud groan, boosted her up to the top of the wall. Then I leaped as high as I could, grabbed the top, and scrambled over.
Ow!
I scraped both knees again as I slid down the other side. I glanced up. We were back in the small park where the barbershop quartet had been singing. The concert music must have ended. The park was nearly deserted. Ashley was already on her feet and running, ignoring my throbbing knees. I started after her and bumped into someone. We both cried out in surprise. It was a boy, about our age, 12, maybe 13. He had wavy brown hair that looked like it hadn't been brushed in years. He was sort of shabby. His red and blue striped t-shirt was faded and stained, and one of the sleeves was torn. His wide brown pants stopped just below the knees.
Watch where you're going, he cried angrily, rubbing his side.
Sorry, I murmured. I was running, and...
Can you help us? Ashley asked breathlessly, appearing behind me.
We've got to hide.
How can you hide in those strange clothes? The boy asked, pointing at Ashley's day-glow shorts. Are you a circus act or something?
I love that people are that easily amused in that day, where it's like the fifth time they've been asked if they're in the circus.
Like, you're like, fuck, I have no notable skills. I can't even read bootleg audiobooks. I know. I'll dye my shorts orange. That way I can go on tour with the circus.
No! I stammered.
We don't have time to explain, Ashley said impatiently. Do you know a good place to hide?
The boy tossed back his brown hair. He stared from Ashley to me.
First, let's get you some real duds, he said.
Some real what? I demanded.
You know, duds, clothes, he replied,
eyeing me curiously.
Where are you from, anyway?
Pretty far from here, I told him.
Ashley's eyes were on the wall. The guards would be climbing after us any second.
Please, we've got to get moving, she pleaded.
Okay, follow me, the boy said. He began to trot across the grass. We followed him out of the small park onto the crowded walkway that led back to the carnival area.
By the way, my name's Paul, he said.
Ah, maybe it's Pauly D.
Oh my god, now I have to try to do a Pauly D voice the entire time.
Oh yeah! Duds are here! It's Duds time!
That was my Jersey Shore impersonation. We told him our names. Our eyes were darting over the crowd, searching for the guards. Each time we turned a corner, I expected to be grabbed. The wind swirled and gusted. It blew a woman's wide-brim hat into a small fish pond.
Dag nabbit!
She started yelling at her husband to wade in and pull it out for her. He didn't seem too happy about that idea. Ashley and I tried to stay in the shadows as we followed Paul through the park. After what seemed like hours, we came to a place called the service area.
Paul led us into a square, white-shingled building. We found ourselves in a musty-smelling room.
Paul pointed to several large cardboard cartoons on one wall. A sign above the cartoons read, "Used Clothing Drop."
"Maybe you can find something that fits," he told us.
"Go ahead, hurry up and change. At least you won't look like freaks."
Freaks?
Ashley and I hurried over to the cartons. which were piled to the top with old clothing. It looked like stuff you'd see in antique stores. Ashley rummaged through a carton and pulled out a long, straight brown skirt with a ruffled hem. She pulled it over her shorts. "Hey! It fits!" she cried happily. A few seconds later, she pulled out a frilly, lacy white blouse. "This is like when I was little," Ashley said, pulling the blouse over her sleeveless shirt. "I used to go up to my grandma's attic and try on her old clothes." She spun around. "How do I look?" "Like your grandmother," I told her, and by that I mean incredibly, incredibly physically attractive and seductive. "Ashley, I need to tell you something." "Not now." I bent down and tried to find something that would fit me. Paul had his eyes trained on the entrance. Ashley was twirling around the weird skirt and blouse. "Why do they have old clothing at an amusement park?" she asked Paul. "Wait, that's what the readers are supposed to ask." "R.L. Stine, you're catching yourself." "You know, for the unemployed people," Paul replied without turning around. "The park has a lot of services for the poor."
"There were no services for the poor, then?"
"Really?" Ashley cried, surprised. "Well, there is a depression going on," Paul replied sharply.
"There was a depression going on, and that's why there are no Goosebumps books for a while."
Sad doom. I pulled out a pair of knee-length brown pants like Paul's, and I found a Hawaiian-style sport shirt, all yellow and blue flowers, that might fit okay. I remembered we had read something about the Depression in a history unit. It was a long time ago, when a lot of people were out of work and everyone was poor. I wanted to ask Paul more about it, but I knew I couldn't. Paul would wonder why I didn't know about it, and I knew there was no way to explain about Ashley and me. I couldn't explain it to myself! I went into the back room, tugged off my jeans and t-shirt, and then tugged off, and then I pulled on the outfit from the carton. The clothes smelled a little moldy, but they almost fit. I felt like a real dork with pants that didn't come all the way down. At least the Hawaiian sport shirt was kind of cool.
I like to wear Hawaiian shirts. It says to people, "Hey, I would like another cocktail."
How could people wear this stuff? I wondered. Well, at least I'll be easier to keep away from the guards in these clothes, I told myself. As I adjusted the pants, my gaze stopped at my white pump sneakers. Should I trade them in, too? I had seen a carton of shoes in the other room. My big clunky brown and black shoes. Maybe. No way, I cried out. No way I was leaving my pumps behind. I stepped back into the front room and stretched out my arms. Hey, Ashley, what do you think? My mouth dropped open as I glanced around the room. I let out a startled gasp. Ashley and Paul were gone.
Chapter 20.
Hey! I stared around the empty room, my heart pounding. What's the big idea? Had Ashley been caught by the guards? Dragged away? I hurried out the front door and straight into them both. Ashley caught the frantic expression on my face. Paul and I ran out, she explained. I thought I saw Petey. Who is P.D.? Paul asked. We have to find him, Ashley replied breathlessly. James and I have been searching everywhere for him. We have to find him right away. A blue uniformed security guard approached. He was whistling to himself, walking slowly. He stopped whistling when he saw the three of us. Oh, shit, I thought, feeling my stomach tighten with dread like I had crippling diarrhea. Caught again? I swallowed hard. The guard started whistling again. He walked right past us. I realized I'd been holding my breath. I let it out in a long whoosh.
You already did that in the first part.
These costumes worked, I exclaimed. What does PD look like? Paul asked. He's an old man with long white hair and a bushy white beard, Ashley told him. Sort of like Santa Claus. The last time we saw him, he was wearing huge overalls, I added. Denim overalls. Over a black sweater. He shouldn't be too hard to find, Paul replied. We have to find him, Ashley said, her voice shrill and frightened. We have to find him, or we can't go home.
Now at the bottom of this page is a 3 asterisks, so I don't know what that means.
We searched for a long time. It seemed like hours. No sign of PD. I suddenly realized I was starving. I led Ashley and Paul up to a food stand. A bright electric sign over the counter read, Coney Island Dogs, fit for a millionaire. I peered behind the counter to see several hot dogs sizzling on a wide grill. So that's what Coney Dogs are, I told myself. I turned to Ashley and Paul. How many do you want? I could eat a dozen.
Just one, Ashley said. you know, with lots of mustard. I just want one hot dog because I'm not a fat piece of shit like you. Paul lowered his eyes. None for me, he muttered. I don't have any money. I'll treat you, I told him. You helped us get these clothes. I turned to the white apron counterman. He wore a tall white chef's hat. How much are they? 3 cents, he replied in a gruff voice. How many? 3 of them, with lots of mustard, I told him. I turned to Ashley. If we lived here, we'd be rich, I exclaimed. Paul looked puzzled. Where we live, hot dogs cost more than a dollar, Ashley explained. Stop teasing me, Paul said, smiling. No one would pay a dollar for a stupid hot dog, he smiled. Are you really rich? I felt all the change in my pockets. I knew I had at least $5 in my wallet. We're rich tonight, I declared. Can we go on the shoot the shoot? Paul asked. I never have enough money to ride it. Or anything else, he added sadly. We have to keep searching for Petey, Ashley told him. But maybe we can do some rides on the way, I said. As we gobbled down our hot dogs, Paul told us he came to the Firelight Park just about every night. He couldn't afford the admission. It cost a dime to get in, so he sneaked in through a hole in the fence back near the woods. He told us he had 4 brothers and sisters. That's why you're poor. So your parents can't stop humping. Okay? That's the problem here, Paul. And his family lived in a 2-room apartment above a dry cleaning store. I work during the day, delivering the dry cleaning, Paul said. I don't get paid a salary, but sometimes the customers give me a few pennies as a tip. He finished his Coney Island in about 2 seconds. I bought him another one. I could tell he was really hungry. Of course, I give all my money to my family, he continued. You see, my dad lost his job when the stock market crashed. He goes out every morning trying to find work, but there are so many men looking for jobs. His voice trailed off. I ordered 3 more Coney Island dogs and gave the counterman a dime. We gobbled them up quickly, and they were really good. Let's take Paul on some rides, I whispered to Ashley. Okay, she nodded. I guess we can watch out for Petey on the way. We made our way through the crowd. The tall torches flickered as we passed, making our shadows dance in front of us. Paul led the way to a building called the Human Whirlpool. It was really a simple ride. A huge wooden disc stretched across the center of the floor. People crowded onto the disc and sat down. Then the disc began to spin faster and faster, making everyone tumble and fall all over one another. We came out laughing and staggering, bumping into one another. We headed next to a ride called the Airflow Dodge'em Cars. It was almost like bumper cars they have at parks today, except the cars were rounder and taller. It didn't quite move as fast. After the Dodge'em Cars, we were ready for the Shoot the Shoot. It turned out to be kind of a kind of waterlog roller coaster ride. It was as high as a roller coaster, and everyone had to walk up to the top. No car to carry us. Once we got to the top, we climbed into the cars that looked like long logs. Then we shot down a watery track, curved to a pond where we hit with a splash. Thank you. That was swell, Paul declared when we came out. You two are real pals. He had a big smile on his face. That made me feel real good. I'm sure it made Ashley feel good, too. What should we do next? I asked, jingling the change in my pockets. I think we should search for Petey, Ashley replied. In the flickering torchlight, her expression was tense and frightened. I was having so much fun, I nearly forgot about Petey. The wind suddenly blew hard, a strong warm gust that fluttered both awnings and made the trees shake and whisper. Hey, I cried out, as an open newspaper flew along the walkway and wrapped itself around my ankles. As I bent down to pull it off of me, my eyes fell on the date on the top of the page and I gasped. June 15th. 1931. Ashley, look, I stammered. I shoved the newspaper in her face. It flung and flapped in the wind. She couldn't read it. It's June 15th, I cried. Ashley, it's 1931. Don't you remember? Her mouth dropped open. She grabbed the newspaper with both hands and stared at the date on the page. The night of the tornado, I cried. Stunned, Ashley let go of the newspaper and the wind carried it away. James, what are we going to do? Chapter 21. Tornado? What tornado? It's just a little windy, Paul said. He glanced up at the sky that was now starless. Probably gonna rain.
You don't understand, Ashley cried shrilly. There's going to be a tornado, a terrible tornado. A slow grin crossed Paul's face. I could see he thought we were joking. You're pulling my leg, right? No, I told him. We're serious, Paul. We've got to warn everyone. Everyone has to leave the park, Ashley cried. Everyone has to get the fuck out. You mean it? Paul demanded, still confused. The wind was blowing really steadily now. Hats were blowing across the ground. Women grabbed their skirts and held them down. A la Marilyn Monroe, people were laughing, raising their faces to the wind, enjoying the excitement. Only Ashley and I knew that the excitement would soon turn to terror. But what could we do? How could we warn everyone? How could we get everyone out in time? Let's tell the two guards, Ashley cried, pointing to two uniformed men leaning against a white information booth. She dodged around a group of laughing teenagers who had their arms outstretched and were pretending to fly through the soaring wind. Then she went running to the guards. Paul and I hurried after her. You've got to clear the park, now! Ashley screamed breathlessly. The two guards stared at her, their expressions not changing. You've got to get everyone out. A tornado is coming.
Wait, if they're warning about the tornado, shouldn't they be, like, warning? It's, like, 1931. Shouldn't they be warning about the, you know, pending Holocaust and whatnot as well? I feel like, why stop there if you're already changing history? You know, if you're completely disregarding all the rules of time travel that are laid out in the Temporal Prime Directive. Yeah, Star Trek reference. Anyway, like, I don't know. Whatever. I guess start with tornadoes, end with the murder of 8 million people, and Pol Pot and everyone else.
All right. The guards exchanged glances. One of them had a thin, blonde mustache. His lips twisted into a smile beneath it. Afraid of a little wind? He asked in a mocking voice. Ashley sputtered angrily. No, listen to her. She's right. I stepped in. It's going to be a terrible tornado. Clear the park. Clear the park. The guard with the mustache yawned. Beat it, kids, he said in a bored voice. Go see the sideshow, his partner chimed. They've got a lot of jokers over there. You don't understand, Ashley shrieked, frantically, raising both fists in frustration. We know it's coming. We know it's going to destroy the whole park. You've got to listen to us. We come from the future. Like me, Dune, a.k.a. Shardy McFly. Both guards burst out laughing.
Go have a good time, kids, the mustache guard said, waving us away, and say hello to Buck Rogers for us.
Say hi to Flash Gordon, too, his partner said, laughing and completely unoriginal. Ashley choked out a cry of frustration. She lowered her fist to her sides. We turned and walked away from the laughing guards. Why did you tell him you're from the future? Paul asked, scratching his long brown hair. I don't get it. Why do you think a tornado is heading this way? We don't have time to explain.
Well, you just said you were from the future. You know, you could have just said, we're from the future. That would have been, you know, fuck it.
Ashley replied, frowning at the flickering torches. She's right, I said. My eyes searched for the long boardwalk. We've got to find Petey. He told us he was here this night. The night of the tornado. Ashley said thoughtfully. So we've got to keep looking. We've got to search every inch of the park till we find him. Suddenly, another idea flashed into my mind. Ashley, maybe the park has a loudspeaker system, you know, for making announcements from the main office? Yes! Ashley cried, her eyes lighting up. That's a great idea. She turned excitedly to Paul. Paul, where's the main office? Can you take us there? Paul pointed. It's that-a-way, near the front gate, but... We'll tell them to make an announcement, Ashley cried, hurrying off in the direction Paul had pointed. They can announce that the park is closed, that everyone has to leave. And they can ask Petey to come to the front gate, I added, trotting after her. They can call him to the front gate. Then he can tell us how to get home. It seemed like a good plan. Simple, really. If it worked, it would save a lot of lives. And get us back to our time. If it didn't work, well, I didn't want to think about that. As the three of us jogged through the crowds to the main office, I was struck by an amazing stillness. It was so quiet, the air hung heavily over us. So still, nothing moved, not a tree leaf trembled. I felt a cold chill down my back as I realized what it was. The calm before the storm. Oh my goodness.
Chapter 22.
A hush seemed to have fallen over the entire park. We ran through the eerie quiet. Far away, I could hear the sound of the carousel. The crowd became a blur of smiling faces as we ran. People were gazing up at the sky. It had become a strange yellow-gray, as if it had been painted over. "Hurry!" Ashley cried. Paul and I were right behind her. "There it is!" Paul shouted, pointing. Across a wide plaza stood a long, low red brick building. I just realized that I've said plaza twice in this, and that that's going to differentiate me from other people because I'm from Southern California, and I'm fairly confident that, like, is it the Midwest and stuff that says plaza? It's plaza, though, right? The row of windows all along the side was dark. Breathing hard, we stopped at the double glass doors. Dark inside, completely black. Ashley tugged frantically at one of the doors. It didn't budge. She tried the other one. Then I noticed the chain tied through the door handles. A brass padlock hung from the chain. "What do you kids want?" a stern voice called. All three of us turned to see a tall, lanky guard. He had a long, slender horse face. His blue cap was tilted back on his head, revealing straight, straw-colored hair. His eyes were narrowed suspiciously at us. We have to make an announcement," I managed to cry. "We have to get inside. We have to close the park," Ashley told him in a shrill, desperate voice. "Office is closed," the guard replied calmly. His long jaw was moving. He was chewing gum, I realized. He motioned toward the dark glass doors. "They all go home at 5:30, lucky stiffs." "But we have to close the park," Ashley insisted, still clutching the door handles. "We have to warn everyone." "Storm's coming up," the guard said. "Storm's coming up," the guard said, slowly raising his eyes to the sky. "Never saw a sky that yellow, did ya?" "You don't understand," Ashley screamed. "It's a tornado. People will be killed. We have to tell them to go home." The guard chewed his gum slowly. He stared at Ashley as if he didn't understand a word she was saying. "It's just going to rain a little," he said finally. "The wind has already stopped." "No, no, she's right," I said. "The tornado." But he raised a big, bony-fingered hand to me. "Office is closed," he repeated in the same calm voice. "No way to make any kind of announcement." "Then how can we clear the park?" Ashley cried. The guard shrugged. "Can't," he said. "Why don't you kids go have some fun?" he suggested, tilting the hat back to scratch his head. "Are your parents around? Maybe you should go find them if you're scared of the storm." I let out an exasperated sigh. That was my exasperated sigh. Yeah. I could see this guard wasn't going to be any help. We were wasting time. Precious time. The sky had become even stranger, yellow with eerie gray streaks through it. Far in the distance, I thought I could hear the twisting howl of the approaching tornado. "Ashley, let's go," I murmured, grabbing her arm. But she pulled away from me and returned to the lanky guard. "Is there any way to call somebody to the gate? Is there any way at all? We need to see a man named P.D. Walters. Is there any way to call to the call for P.D. Walters over the loudspeaker?" The guard shook his head. "There is no loudspeaker," he said. "No way to announce anything, as far as I know." His expression hardened. "Run along now, okay? You kids are starting to steam me." "Come on, Ashley," I pleaded. "We have to go." I pulled her away. We walked halfway across the plaza. Glancing back, I saw the guard leaning against the glass doors, staring at us. "Why wouldn't he help us?" Ashley demanded in a high, angry voice. "Why wouldn't he even listen to us? Doesn't he realize what's going to happen? It's going to be so horrible, James. And we're going to be trapped in it. We can't die virgins, James." No, it doesn't say that. That's what I was saying. Because I keep implying that they have some sort of incestuous relationship. When in reality, R.L. Stine would never say anything like that. Because that's not his target audience. And he doesn't have a childlike sense of humor like me. "I know," I replied softly, glancing up at the strange yellow sky. I suddenly realized that Paul hadn't said a word in quite a while. I turned to him and found him staring hard at Ashley and me. A thoughtful look on his locked... A thoughtful look locked on his face. "Paul... what's wrong?" I asked. "What name did you just say?" he asked. "Who did you tell the guards you wanted to find?" P.D. Walters," Ashley told him. "Remember, Paul? The old man with the white hair and the beard? His name is P.D. Walters?" Paul let out a short cry. "Meh." His mouth dropped open.
He stared first at Ashley, then at me. "But that's impossible," he cried. "What? What's impossible?" I demanded. "I'm P.D. Walters," Paul exclaimed.
"He's P.D. Walters. Oh my God, R.L. I need to eat another drink. This is intense."
If there are any eccentric billionaires or even millionaires out there that listen to the old Dune Reads Goosebumps, you should be like, I'm doing a service for the world. I'll pay Dune $40,000 a year, and he'll put out a Goosebumps 5 days a week. Huh? Think about it. It'd be a good use of time. You'd have a lasting legacy. I dedicate each one to you. Might be worth it.
Chapter 23. This one's dedicated to you, eccentric millionaire. Ashley and I both gaped at Paul. Ashley grabbed his arm. "What do you mean?" she cried shrilly. "What are you saying?" "I'm P.D. Walters," Paul insisted. An excited laugh escaped from him. "I'm Paul David Walters. That's my name." "But you?" Ashley stammered, still holding on to him. "You mean that all this time..." "I don't believe it," I cried, shaking my head. "I don't believe. Check it out, though." I had to laugh, too. Ashley and I had been such jerks. We were searching for P.D. as an old man, but we had traveled back more than 60 years in time. P.D. was a boy in 1931, not a white-bearded old man. We had wasted all this time searching for P.D. Walters when he had been with us the entire night. "But why are you looking for me? How do you know about me?" P.D. demanded. "I don't understand this. I don't understand any of this."
"That means you should probably go back to school, P.D. You'd understand things better. You wouldn't just hang around with laundromat people all day. They're not respectable. I've been to laundromats. One time, my girlfriend was at a laundromat, and a homeless guy waggled his dick at her through the window, and she got bummed out."
"We don't either," I confessed. "We don't have time to talk about it," Ashley said, her eyes raised to the darkening sky. "Just get us back to our time, okay, P.D.?"
"Huh?"
His mouth dropped open. "Do what?"
Do what now?
That was Meatwad.
"Get us out of here," Ashley repeated impatiently. "Send us back to our time." He stared at her for a long time, thinking very hard. "How the fuck am I supposed to do that?" he replied finally. His features were tight with confusion. "I'm sorry, Ashley. I really don't know what you mean."
"But you're the one who can help us," Ashley screamed. I could hear the panic rise in her voice.
I put a hand on her shoulder, trying to calm her a little. Then I turned to Petey, who was shaking his head fretfully. "Can you show us the way to the beast?" I asked softly.
"The what?" he replied, more confused than ever.
"Maybe if we found the beast, we could ride it to the future," I suggested. "Yes, yes, good idea," Ashley cried. "Petey, hurry, take us to the beast."
"I'm sorry," Petey replied sadly. "I'm really sorry, but I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of the beast." Ashley let out a long, sad sigh. Her shoulder slumps. "I don't believe this," she murmured.
"He can't help us. He can't help us at all."
And just then, the wind began to roar.
The wind began to roar. Chapter 24.
The wind had started a distant whisper. The whisper was now becoming a steady roar, and the trees began to shake. The yellow tint had faded from the sky. The gray quickly darkened to black. Fire danced in the torches overhead, flickered, then dipped low. "We're trapped," Ashley wailed. "Trapped!"
"I'm sorry," Petey cried, hurrying to keep up with her as she made her way through the crowded boardwalk.
"I'm really sorry. I'd like to help if I knew what I could do, but, this is also so much to take in, and let's find a safe place to hide," I suggested, shouting over the roar of the wind. "Maybe there's a basement somewhere, or some place that's protected, but we've got to warn people," Ashley insisted. "We've got to try."
We had wandered back to the carnival area. Up ahead on a small platform, the sideshow barker was still talking into his megaphone and trying to draw people into his show.
"Ashley, wait," I cried. but it was too late. I watched her leap onto the platform and grab the megaphone out of the startled man's hands. He cried out in protest and stumbled off the platform, landing hard on the concrete. "Run, everyone!" Ashley shouted into the megaphone. "It's a tornado! Run, everyone! Tornado's coming!" I could barely hear over the rush of the wind. "Tornado coming!" she shouted. "Leave the park! Tornado!" The wind swirled around the sideshow building, people still heading inside. I saw two teenagers, their shirts flapping in the strong wind, pointing and laughing at Ashley. A middle-aged man and woman were shaking their heads, probably thinking Ashley was pulling some kind of a prank. The wind was funneling down the midway, flapping awnings, making the flimsy buildings tremble. I heard little kids crying, their frightened wails raising over the wind. The sky grew even darker. The swirling air felt hot and wet. "Tornado, leave the park, please! Please listen to me!" Ashley was screaming frantically into the megaphone. I turned and saw the carnival barker. He was holding his straw hat in one hand to keep it from blowing away. He was talking to two guards, speaking rapidly, angrily. He pointed at Ashley. "Uh-oh!" I cried out loud. "Here comes the guards!" Petey and I ran to Ashley. We didn't have to say a word. She saw the guards, too. They were running towards us, their eyes narrowed in anger. The carnival barker hurried after them. Ashley dropped the megaphone. All three of us began running, running into the wind. It tried to push us back. We lowered our heads and ran harder. I glanced back. There were four guards chasing us now. "Run," I screamed. "Keep running." My words were pushed back in my face by the oncoming wind. The wind blew so hard, I couldn't breathe. The air was filled with dust swirling and stinging our faces and lungs. I closed my eyes and kept running. When I opened them, I saw we had run up against the tall wooden fence. "Dead end," I screamed. I turned to see the four guards closing in. Their expressions were triumphant when they saw they had cornered us. I pressed my back against the fence and searched desperately for an escape route, but we were blocked on both sides by big garbage trucks. The wind howled louder, louder. Heads lowered, the guards moved in on us. "We're trapped," I realized, glancing at Ashley and Petey. They were pressed against the wooden fence, too. The wind sent Ashley's hair flying wildly about her head. "Now what?" Ashley cried. I could barely hear her over the howling wind. The thick dust forced me to shut my eyes again. "We're trapped in the tornado," I realized. "The park is about to be destroyed, and so are we." Chapter 25! The guards spread out as they closed in on us. The angry scowls had turned to eager grins. They knew they had us trapped. The wind knocked over a large metal trash can and sent it toppling in front of us. I cried out, startled. I felt a tug on my shoulder. "This way!" Petey shouted, cupping his hands to be heard over the wind. He started to pull me along the fence. "Where are we going?" Ashley cried shrilly. Petey didn't reply. We followed him, huddled together, leaning into the wind. He stopped suddenly and pushed hard against two wooden fence planks. They tilted up and we ducked under them. "Escape! That's where I sneaked into the park," Petey grinned. I knew this fence looked familiar. We didn't have time to thank him. All three of us were running at full speed now, away from the fence toward the dark woods. The trees bent low and shook in the raging wind. As we ran toward them, they appeared to come alive, to jump about and dance. Would we be safer among the trees? Probably not. But we didn't stop to think about it. All we could think of was getting away from the guards and hiding until the tornado had passed. Glancing back, I saw the guards pulling themselves through the fence, opening one by one. "Run!" I shouted. "They're coming!" Petey slipped and stumbled into the tall grass. Ashley and I both grabbed him and pulled him to his feet. We started to run again, then stopped as the enormous shadow loomed over us. At first, I thought it was some kind of gigantic black creature huddled in the trees. But then, my eyes focused on the rising sweep of the tracks as they curled overhead. The Beast. Ashley and I shouted the words together. I gaped up in disbelief. Had it been standing there the whole time? Could we ride it out of the tornado? Out of 1931? Back to our time? I could hear the guards' angry shouts behind us. Without turning back, we started to run. A few seconds later, we were plunging up the concrete ramp. "The cars! They're here!" Ashley cried breathlessly. Yes, as if waiting for us, the empty roller coaster cars stood in the darkness. Were they already moving? No, the gust of wind were making the cars vibrate. Ashley leaped into the first car. Hurry, she screamed. Petey made his way to the controls. Pull that lever, I shouted, pointing. Pull it down, then jump on. As I climbed in after Ashley, I saw Petey pull down the lever. But with a hard jolt, the car jerked forward. We're moving, I cried. The wheels clattered over the track. Petey, hurry, Ashley screamed. I twisted back to see why he wasn't joining us. No, I screamed when I saw the two guards grab Petey and drag him away from the control lever. Petey! The car was pulling away. I saw Petey struggle to free himself, but the two guards held on tight. Petey! Petey! Ashley was shouting his name over and over. He called to us, his voice frightened, desperate. But he couldn't get away. Then, just as our car started to pick up speed, I saw two dark figures dive into our car. The other two guards, they had leaped into the seat right behind us. Whew, this is getting intense. It's a pretty good one, RL. Chapter 26. I was pressed back against the seat as the car started to climb. The winds whistled around us, faster, louder. We're climbing right into the tornado, I thought. We'll never get out, never. The winds will blow us off the track. And even if we do ride to the end, I realized, the guards are right with us. We haven't escaped at all. Up, up. The track stretched steeper into the raging wind. And then, Ashley and I were both screaming as we plunged straight down, down into more wind and darting shadows. An angry, shrill howl, the howl of a tornado, drowned out our screams. The car swooped and slid through the wind, through the hot dust, so thick it clogged our throats, through the ceaseless howl. And then, up again. Up another steep climb, and another plunge, down into fog, cooling fog, so wet, so soft against my face. Had the wind actually stopped howling? Had we left the tornado behind? The heavy fog swept over us as we shot forward. We're riding through clouds, I thought, soft. Cool clouds. A sharp swerve. Another jarring dip. I gripped the safety bar, bouncing hard in the seat. The fog was so heavy, the shadows so thick. I couldn't tell if my eyes were open or shut like I'm Asian. And then, suddenly, we stopped. The ride ended in a splash of pale, silver moonlight. I glanced at Ashley. Her face was paler than the light. We were both breathing hard, still gripping the safety bar. Finally, I managed to pull myself to my feet. I stood and, holding the seat back, stepped out onto the platform, my legs still rubbery. I helped Ashley out. The wind had calmed. The moonlight glittered down on us, soft and silvery. The two guards! I'd nearly forgotten about them. They had taken the ride with us. They had soared through the darkness, out of the winds, through the shifting, sweeping fog. We hadn't escaped. I turned to their seat and prepared to be captured. Oh, no! Ashley screamed shrilly as she saw them. My mouth dropped open, but no sound came out. Two gray skeletons sat in the seat behind us, tiny scraps of blue clothing clinging to their bones. It always weirds me out when there's actual death in these books. Keep chugging along, because it's exciting. Chapter 27. The moonlight shone down at the gray-green bones, the black, empty eye sockets, the grinning skulls. James, what happened? Ashley stammered, gaping in horror at what remained of the two guards. I think we've traveled through time, I told her, unable to take my eyes off the skeletons. I think we've come back more than 60 years to our own time. And the guards? I think they died of old age. I said, and as I said it, the bones began to crumble. The patches of blue cloth, what had once been their uniforms, fluttered and floated away in the breeze. The bones crumbled to gray powder. The powder was carried off by the wind. Ashes to ashes. Funks to funky. We all know Major Tom's a junkie. Petey sent us back in time to 1931, I said, watching the powder float away in the moonlight. I guess he hoped we could warn people about the tornado and save lives. But of course we couldn't, Ashley said. You can't change history, right? You can't change the past, except for the two security guards that we just murdered. We proved that, I replied thoughtfully. We didn't change anything at all, except for, you know, the murdered guys. Are we really back home? Ashley asked. I opened my mouth to answer, but a stern voice interrupted. How did you kids get back here? What are you doing here? Bright flashlights played over our faces, forcing us to cover our eyes. The King's Island security guards had finally caught us. They guided us to the front office and called my mommy. We explained we had accidentally got locked in the park after it closed. You should have come right to security office instead of running around having an adventure. A guard scolded, shaking his head. Ashley and I apologized. Can we just go and say goodbye to Petey? Ashley asked. The guard narrowed his eyes at her. Who? Petey Walters? Ashley replied. You know, the old man who tests the beast at night. The guards exchanged glances. Are you feeling okay? One of them asked her. There's no old man who tests the beast, the other one said, frowning. We all stared at one another in silence. Then I asked if Ashley and I could wait for my mom outside. The guards eyed us suspiciously. You're not going to run away again? No. Promise, I said. Wait by that gate, the guard said, pointing out the window. Ashley and I wandered outside. The park was dark and silent. Pale moonlight washed over us as we made our way to the front gate. The next time they won't catch us, Ashley murmured, grinning. Huh? Next time? I cried, like a little bitch. I started to tell her there wouldn't be a next time, but something caught my eye. It was a large brass plaque mounted on the wall beside the gate. The plaque caught the moonlight and glowed brightly against the dark wall. Ashley saw it too. We both moved close to read it. Firelight Park. Honor Roll. This plaque is in memoriam of those who perished. June 15th, 1931. My eyes drifted down the long list of names engraved on the metal plaque. Ashley and I read aloud the very last name at the bottom of the list. P.D. Walters. He didn't get out, Ashley murmured sadly. He died in the tornado. But then how? I never finished my question. Through the gate, I saw car headlights rolling across the vast parking lot. My mom coming to pick us up. Then, behind us, I heard a faint sound, a familiar sound, floating up the night air. I glanced at Ashley. She heard it, too. We both listened in silence to the sound drifting from the back of the park. Was it the clatter of roller coaster wheels? Or was it just the wind? The end. Wow. That does not make me want to go to Ohio to ride a roller coaster. The fact they went in time, back in time, and couldn't save anyone's lives. And the one kid that actually helped them, the poor kid that had nothing but in his life but just utter misery and being broke, died. What the fuck? All right. I'm actually going to go through the about the author really quick, because I've never done that. And then we'll be done with this. About the author. Where do you get your ideas? It said in quotes with a question mark. That's the question that R.L. Stine is asked about most often. I don't know where my ideas come from, he said. But I do know what I have a lot more... What the fuck is wrong with me? I just need to read, like, a paragraph more. I don't know where my ideas come from, he says. But I do know that I have a lot more scary stories in my mind that I can't wait to write. So far, he has written nearly 36 mysteries and thrillers for young people. All of them bestsellers. Bob grew up in Columbus, Ohio. Today he lives in an apartment near Central Park in New York City with his wife Jane and 13-year-old son Matt. Wait, what? Bob is R.L. Stine. I guess his first name is probably Robert. He just goes by Bob. That's interesting. Anyway, I'm going to really, really try hard at keeping these going. And, you know, happy 2012. Drink up and stay spooky, bitches.